This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Podcast and our review of Hunt for the Wilder People. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome along to New Zealand Week on the podcast. If you haven't heard it already, we're already with Sam Hurley from the Movie Reviews and 20Q's podcast, counted down the top 10 New Zealander films. Where did this feature on our list? You can find out if you go back to this week's main episode. But for today, we're talking the 2016 New Zealand adventure comedy adventure. Did I say adventure already?
I think so.
Drama. Adventure comedy drama written and directed by Taika Waititi, and his screenplay was based on the book Wild Pork and Watercress by Barry Crump, Sam Neill, and Julian Dennison star, along with Reese Darby,
yes.
I should say, and Rima T. Waiter. That'll do. It's 101 minutes long. It was made for only $2.5 million US and made back $23 million around the world. It is the film which helped put this podcast on the map.
What?
Because I tweeted out after seeing this at an early advanced screening about it, and Twitter featured our tweet as one of the five or six when it went around the world.
Nice work.
About, you know, sort of the early reactions to Twitter, to Hunt for the Wilder People.
Is I didn't very know that.
Positive. So
well done.
That and a tweet about Kevin Smith's show that we put out there. As
I
well.
Remember that one, yeah.
So it has a special place in my heart on that reason alone, or on that basis alone. But Wayne, what is the film about?
Well, raised on hip-hop and foster care, defiant city kid Ricky gets a fresh start in the New Zealand countryside. He finds himself very quickly at home with his new foster family, the loving Aunt Bella, the cantankerous Uncle Heck, played by Sam Neill, and his dog Tupac.
Is it Tupac?
It is Tupac. He calls it Tupac. When a tragedy strikes that threatens to ship Ricky to another home, him and his uncle, Heck, go on the run in the bush, and this national manhunt ensues around news from New Zealand, involving a bunch of 5-0 and like tanks
and
helicopters and shit. And they basically become these newly branded outlaws, and they face their options, which is to go out in a blaze of glory or overcome their differences and survive as a family. That's the movie.
Yep. Well described, sir. Now, I'd seen this film. You had avoided it.
I had avoided it.
Wayne, nope. What did you think of Hunt for the Wilder People?
Before I go on, I would like to say that this was indeed a film that Paul got to early at an advanced screening that we both got an invite to, and I declined the advanced screening. Paul says this is much to my chagrin, but I disagree.
Yeah.
Everyone loves this movie. And a lot of you guys out there have said, you know, Wayne, you got to see this, you got to see this, you got to see this. Now, as I explained in my last episode, I think I might have been in the wrong frame of mind. I don't think...
What is your major
shut up, ass hair.
Numbnut.
Yeah, you're a dick. Now, it's not bad. Not bad, okay? But it ain't great. This is not for me, this movie, okay? Now, for the record...
Oh, damn!
That's right.
You are a sad,
ass
man.
Hair. You're a dick. So... First of all, I don't really care for kid films. Okay? I never have. I'll occasionally have a good one here and there. Spider-Man, you know, that the
you consider Spider-Man a kid film?
I'm talking about the Into the Spider-Verse, right?
That film's not a kid film. That film is for adults.
Yeah,
it's too bombastic and extreme.
It's
and
a cartoon. All right.
Yeah, it's the best animated film ever made. That's
okay,
what
well,
it is.
Can we agree this one's kind of a kid's film?
Nope.
What?
No,
look,
so.
Taika Waititi always
when you get into molestering jokes... As I use the term, it's not a kid's film.
All right. Yeah, no. Well, look. The thing about Taika Waititi, and I noticed this in Jojo Rabbit, I noticed this in this.
Mm-hmm.
It's the films have heart, definitely, no doubt. Okay.
Thank God.
Yes, they do. No, but
he's not an automaton, ladies and gentlemen. He does have some feelings.
Please, I'm not that guy on the show. But when you have like, and he also puts really harsh stuff in there, like the things that happen in this film, it's like, oh, it's quite like visceral. But then it becomes this, okay, can we find some... He uses, like, music and stuff like that to make it somehow more received more lightheartedly. This movie here, my issue with it... Yeah, is that one of his scores? Or is that
that's
your
the
thing?
Start of the movie here.
Yeah, that's right. I actually did recognize that. Amazing. so
how would you like to suck my balls?
So when I think this... What happened with me in this film is that I found... First of all, I found the kid annoying to start with because he's supposed to be annoying, right?
What about the montage at the start where he's like... He's a bad egg. He's a really bad egg. And it's just so he does graffiti and damage and he spits. And it's just
I
cut,
think
cut,
that,
cut,
that's
cut.
Why I didn't like him.
Hilarious.
That's why I didn't like him.
Because it's so lame. And he stands next to a letterbox on fire, and he's like, yeah.
I think I actually cracked a smile on that one, to be sure. Like I said, there's not, like, there are moments in this film which are great, right? But there's not heaps of them, man. It's, to me, it moved very slow the first half. Right, I'm like,
apologies for your ears there.
I just thought it moved a bit slow. I was like, okay, this is fine. This is fine.
I don't understand.
I don't understand what the big fucking deal is.
Paced.
What? No, it's long, man. Paced. It's a little long, man. It's a little bloated. A little bloated.
Why? We're not talking about your cock.
Oh, thank you very much. What? Obviously, you loved it. So tell me about what you
Look, I really liked it. I didn't love it. And I'll tell you a little later why I didn't like it in the spoiler section, because it is a big spoiler as to why I didn't love this film as much as I could. That's it. Very, very good film. Characterized by or personified by the relationship between Sam Neill and Julian Dennison.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent as this odd couple relationship. He's, as you said, cantankerous, perfect description.
Sure.
Doesn't really want an adopted kid, but he's doing it to please his wife.
Yep. And who is a lovely, lovely person.
Lovely lady. Like, just great scenes early on. Even to really personify their characterizations. Heck's not around in the first scene.
No.
It's just
the wife,
kid,
and, yep.
The social worker, the cop who's her sort of offsider, and Bella as the auntie who's going to take him in. He sort of walks off around the house. And she's talking to the social worker. We don't really track what he's doing, but suddenly he comes back into frame and he just walks, gets back into the cop car.
Okay.
Because he's like, fuck this, I want out of here.
Here we have our problem, okay? I remember you talking about that scene.
That was great.
I was like, that's nothing. That scene is nothing. Oh. I was like, there's nothing funny about that scene. I'm sitting there. Maybe because I knew he was coming back in the car or something. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe because I spoiled it.
Possibly, but not your fault. But I was looking at it going, but if I'm trying to be objective about it, I'm looking at it and going, all right. It's like, it's
sort of subtle.
I saw this
in a packed cinema.
Yeah, no, I reckon that would have a massive
opening
effect.
Well, pre-opening date, and
I think that's what happened
that
here.
That joke killed.
If you go to any premiere, it helps a whole time,
sure.
Man.
I wouldn't deny that. As long as the film's good, because you go to a packed premiere and no one's reacting. Exactly. Like X-Men Apocalypse.
Oh,
doesn't work that way.
Remember
well.
That? That was fucked up. Woo. Yeah. So, you know, there's that. I did.
But don't. They're back and forth. That's what I was trying to get to. Like the way that grows, their relationship grows, and
the dialogue
and Heck
is good.
Heck does his ankle, and then he has to rely upon Ricky Baker in a way. And their bond, your affection for them both grows as their affection for each other grows.
Yes, I should mention this. Now, I say I find the kid annoying to start with. Yes, he's written annoying, this and that.
He's meant to be a delinquent.
Yeah. The second he throws in with the family that disappears. So, like when he's at. He has a birthday like cake or whatever it is with his mom.
And he starts singing.
He starts singing, right? That second is when I go, I like this kid now, because now he's
15 minutes into the film.
No,
what's your problem?
Not. It sounds like half. Feels no, like halfway through. It feels like a
you are so wrong. It hurts my brain.
Okay. Well, let me
because I actually looked to see what happens when the tragedy befalls at 17 minutes in.
Oh, well, see, it felt so much longer.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know. But
here's my sweaty balls, you fat fuck.
So his like mom, right? His mom is
so harsh.
I know, motherfucker. His mom is like such a likable, like immediately your favorite character in the show. And then obviously when something, you know, that's on purpose. But I remember thinking the best things about this film was that I don't think it's a spoiler. There's a pig related incident early with the mom and the kid. And when it seems like a really harsh, kind of gory scene, and you're like, oh my God, but the way it's played is that she's like, wow, where did that, you know, it's kind of, you can shrug it off and he faints and it's funny, you know?
Yep.
So the best thing about this movie is the execution of those scenes where it's pure filmmaking talent that makes you feel the way he wants you to feel. Still long. Still felt a bit long. That's what it is.
It felt long to you. I can't deny your feelings. Yeah. But for me, it was perfectly paced. It hit all the beats that it needed to hit. I do have problems with the last 20 minutes, 25 minutes of the film, and that's where it drops my score down.
Interesting.
But I would say the first half of this movie, the first two acts of this movie, I'm like, this is gold. Absolute gold.
Really? I reckon I need to watch it again in a different mindset long from now. You know, like I did with Shawshank Redemption. I mentioned this in the show, but basically I was in the wrong state of mind when I first saw that too.
Yeah, might be the same and you can be in the wrong state of mind. I mentioned the same about one of the films that Sam picked on his list, but for me... I don't know. It's so charming, this movie.
There's charm to it.
Sam Neill is perfect in this movie. And I think for a first time, I don't know if Gillian Denison's been in lots of other films, but for a first big film, let's put it that way, he kills it as well. And he's a fat kid, right? Mm. I know it's not politically correct to say that, but I love the fact that
we can't see that. What can
we
say?
The film does play on it.
Like, yeah, you know, it makes jokes like that.
I don't know if you need to have another meal, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? I think it's great. And he owns it. He just sort of rolls with it. Like, yeah, but...
I think I also didn't like the social worker at all. Like, I know she's supposed to be... But I fucking hated every minute she was on screen. I was like, shut up.
I didn't. There's a couple of good gags.
There are good gags.
Particularly the Terminator 2 Sarah Connor exchange.
Yeah, again, see, that's the thing. I can't fault it completely because there's value to those things. But I remember being aware that I'm like, shut up. I just didn't like her. I know she's not really supposed to be likable, but I didn't like her on, like...
No, but she's not meant to be likable, but at the same time, she's not a bad person. She's doing the right thing, what she thinks is the right thing, but she's blown everything out of proportion.
Well, that's the thing. I hate overzealous people, especially virtue signaling overzealous people. I hate that. So it just came like that. I don't know. Okay, it's all a movie. It's all a character.
Well, of course. All right, so Wayne didn't love this film. I really like it. I think that's what we can take away from the non-spoiler section. Mm-hmm. Let's get into it on the other side of this and talk in more detail.
Okay, Paulie, go have at it.
Here's what I didn't like.
Okay.
It goes too far.
Now...
They have the entire New Zealand military to have TAC Ops people chasing. I get it. Like, if they legitimately believed a kid was being molested by an older man and they were on the run in the bush and whatever, they would certainly have people looking. I don't think they'd have dudes with machine guns out patrolling with their balaclavas on, covering their faces, and then have lines of tanks lined up. It just went too far.
Okay, now here's the funny thing. Oddly, the thing I remember you telling me is like, I think they went a bit far at the end with the fucking tanks. You said tanks, right? So I'm watching it going, oh, are they going to be tanks, right? And then the tanks, right? So for some reason, that's the part I like. Because in the narrative of the film, right? Because it's a little bit cinema of the ridiculous. Not really, but kind of.
I don't think it is. I think this film really tries hard to ground itself. Despite some extreme characters.
I can understand the tonal shift might see, because it's like, oh, this is realistic.
Kind of like I talked about Jojo Rabbit. I don't know if the tonal shift works.
Well, I think because you have the ridiculousness of the social worker and the police there, right?
Yeah, they are a bit...
That's ridiculous. So to me, it's like, oh, all of a sudden we've got tanks. It's like, well, that's quite funny. Do you know what I mean? So again, you're right, technically.
And if you want to take it that far, to defend myself a little bit further, and thank you, right, in the technical aspect, but... Yeah. Like, there's a point where they're driving and escaping, and then the APC or whatever the fuck it is pulls up next to it in the same speed. I'm like, fuck off. There's no way that thing can cover the same ground as this.
Yeah, exactly.
That annoyed me. And then they pull away because he puts his foot down, and then they turn around because the tanks are there, and then drive back through the line of pursuing cop cars. Yeah. I'm like, again. There's one big car crash where a cop car flies up the ramp of another cop car.
Yes.
I'm like, what is going on
that
here?
That was out of the blue. This whole
scene is ridiculously over the top.
That's what smacks me of like, there's like 50 grand here we haven't spent.
Maybe it was that scene that got him the gig on Thor Ragnarok because they could handle a bigger budget action scene.
I agree.
But it doesn't fit the film for me.
Well, the thing is, right? In my opinion, putting like the stunt in there that seems out of the blue, whatever, made the overall ending more blue. Like it meant more to me because it was spectacular. Whereas I found the front part sort of slow. Now I'm seeing some action. I liked the second half of the movie way better than the first half.
Whereas I liked the first
half. Yeah, I think I think everyone would agree with you on that. I think
maybe not. Maybe not.
Who knows? Everyone loves this film, and I'm the only asshole who doesn't. So it's like I know, and I don't hate it or anything. I think it's just fine. So yeah, no, that's what I think.
I'm disappointed. I thought you'd be down with this one.
So did I.
100% surprised it didn't make your top 10.
I actually am. And I was watching it purely for that one. Well, at least I got one here, but it didn't even make the list. So there you are.
Hot damn. But spoilers for the episode Tuesday, Guns Akimbo did.
Yeah. Completely understandable. This seems fine to me. Dude, when we're in spoilers here, so when the mom finally does die,
yep,
and Sam Neill reacts in that way, which is hard to watch. It's really, really horrible.
It's well filmed because it's not
shot.
Not harped on at all.
No, it's just sort of you watching the kid watch this happen.
Yep.
So you're removed on one level, but it's still very. Like, I found it very like holy shit.
That's it's out of nowhere because
it is right out of nowhere.
She's heart attack or heart attack. Yeah,
just
stroke,
boom,
maybe.
And because it's not. But how is not important. The fact that it happens.
She's
important.
Gone is yeah.
And I think, like I said, it's well handled. This is a skillful, at the time, indie filmmaker. I don't know.
We cut to Taika Waititi doing his cameo
as a pastor or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's again.
What do you think that door opens to, eh? Vegetables.
What I know is like, what is this? I wanted to.
Oh, that's so funny.
I didn't think it was so funny. I thought it was okay. That's the thing. Again, yeah. Who knows? Who knows? It's just one of those things.
To Jesus, and then there's another door. Oh, Jesus is tricky like that, eh?
I find this, his rural New Zealand accent, like it's that is the funny part.
And if you haven't heard it, look, I know we're throwing back to last week's episode because it's such a good one with Sam. Sam gives some great stories, including one about Taika Waititi at the end, because you know, apparently everyone knows everyone in New Zealand. So.
Oh, in that movie, one of the movies I mentioned, they celebrate that. They think, well, it's New Zealand, I'll see you around, you know. So
it's pretty awesome. I really like this movie. I don't think there's too much more to say about it, if I'm brutally honest. It might be a short review, but I think it's charming. I think it's heartfelt. I think the two leads are excellent, including, in fact, the three leads, if we include Bella,
are all excellent in
the roles, and you should absolutely check it out. For me, it goes a little bit off the rails towards the end, and that's why I'm going to give it a 78.
Oh, 78.
And not an over 4-star score.
Okay, 62 for me. It's still good. It's 3 stars. Three
bitch, please.
Three and a bit stars. 3-ish stars. Yeah, I think we're fine. I think we're fine.
It pains me that I have to do this for this film. But yet again, Wayne is...
Oh, fuck off. You can suck a ball. To be fair, many might agree with you on the thought. They'll agree with you on the thought, not on that shitty sound. So, no one agrees with that.
If you go to 62, what does Guns Akimbo score?
At least 75.
It's almost like we're the opposite of each other.
Oh, yeah. I think that's the point of the show.
I would score Guns Akimbo 62.
What?
Yep.
That was way more interesting than fucking... Anyway, all right. Fine. All of your arguments are like my asshole, man. Balls. Okay, good.
All right, that is it from us this week. If you agree or disagree, who do you agree with, Wayne or I? Let us know via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at thecountdownpc, on podbean.com where you can like and follow the show, or indeed the Facebook community link is in the show notes. That is it for us for this week. Join us next week as we continue our countdown of all things cinema and film. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
Cinema and film. Cinema and TV, even.
And film.
You meant to say.
And shows.
Shows. Ah, yes. And my name is Paul. And this has been The Soundboard. Taika Waititi, you're the...
you're the best. Fuck off. I know you did it on purpose, you piece of shit.
We'll catch you next time.